This is the Daf Yomi Masechta Review, Masechta Kiddushin, tape number 2.
For subscription information, write us at Daf Yomi Tapes, P.O. Box 831, Muncie, New York, 10952, or call 1-888-DAF-YOMI.
This tape is dedicated in memory of Rabbi Yomin Ben Yomtsev Ruben, Zichroino Livrocha. Our Magid Shia is Rabbi Yossi Heber.
We're holding a Masechta Kiddushin, Daf Chaf Beis Amid Beis at the Mishnah, in the middle of the sugya of Eved Knani. And the Mishnah says, an Eved Knani is nikne via kesef, shtar, or chazaka, and he is kaina himself back via someone redeeming him with kesef, or with a shtar by himself. This is the shita of Rameir. The Chachamim say, through kesef he can redeem himself, or a shtar he can be redeemed via someone else. And the Gemara says, an Eved can also be nikne via chalipin, via a trade. Shmuel says an Eved Kanani can also be nikne via kinyan meshicha. How does kinyan chazaka work by an Eved Kanani? If an Eved does work, that shows that he's an Eved to his master. For example, he ties his master's shoes. That shows that he actually is owned by this particular master, and that would be a good kinyan chazaka. Daf Chav Gimel. The Gemara says, a ger who dies, his property, at the moment he dies, becomes hefker. If an Eved Kanani wants cheres, and he wants the cheres, the freedom to come via the kinyan of kesef, according to Rameir, the kesef must have been given by someone else. Because if the Eved Kanani received the kesef on his own, it's like he didn't receive it at all, because we say, Masha kana Eved, kana Rabbi. And besides, his going free is actually a chayv, according to Rameir, since freedom doesn't allow him to have free food, and so on and so forth. Because going free is really not good, according to Rameir. Zachin lo adam shalei befanav, v'yein chavin ela befanav. And since this is a chayv, it would have to be done in front of him, otherwise it would not be good. A shtar, however, he can accept, since we say, by a shtar, gitay v'yaday bayin kechad. So when he gets the shtar, it's as if it belongs to him. The Chachamim say exactly the opposite. Kesef bi'atzmai, he can be kind of kesef by himself. Shtar has to be al yaday acherim. So shtar b'acherim is good, since freedom is a schus, and zachin lo adam shalei befanav. And kesef he can use by himself. According to Rameir, an Eved cannot redeem himself with his own kesef, since we say, Ein kinyan le'eved b'lay rabbi, v'ein kinyan le'isha b'lay baila. What an Eved acquires belongs to his master, and what a wife acquires belongs to her husband. But the Rabbanan say, the money will belong to both the Baal and the Eved, so the Eved could use it to free himself. Daf Chaf Dalet. If a woman inherits something while she is married, we have a special takanas chachamim of nichsei malug. This is sort of a quasi kinyan where both people own. She, the woman, owns the land, but the husband has the right to eat from the peiros. We should point out that when we're talking about Maiser Sheni, if Maiser Sheni is redeemed, a person must add a chaimish, but only a man is mechuyev to add a chaimish, to add 1/5, not a woman. So if at this point she inherits, while she's married, Maiser Sheni from her father, do we consider it belonging to her since she owns the land, and therefore it would be pater from chaimish? Or do we consider it that it belongs to the husband, since he has the right to the peiros? Therefore, an extra chaimish would be required. So according to Rameir, the Maiser Sheni is hers, so no chaimish is required. First of all, because it belongs to her, but because they hold Maiser Sheni is considered mamain gavaya. The Chachamim say, it belongs to the husband, therefore a chaimish is required, since we say Maiser Sheni is considered mamain hedyot. Gemara says, if a master wounds his Eved Kanani, he hurts him, and he loses an eye, a tooth, or any other aver, which is considered something which is external and cannot grow back, then his owner has to set him free. This is learned from two psukim in Parshas Mishpatim. Since we have two psukim, why don't we say, Kol shnei ksuvim habayim ki echad ein melamdin, and therefore you can only learn the halacha on shein v'ayin, because that's where the psukim are written. More answers, both were needed for specific chidushim. Therefore you don't say, Kol shnei ksuvim habayim ki echad ein melamdin, because they were both needed for something very specific. Reb Shimon says that although the Eved goes free, but in order for him to have the status of a full Ben Chayrin, his master would have to give him a Get Shichror. Reb Meir says he becomes a full Ben Chayrin once he goes out due to Yitziyah Shein V'Yayin, and he does not need a Get Shichror. Finally, if the master hit the Eved on his eye, and he didn't lose the eye mamish, but he became blind, he also goes free. Or if the owner hit him on the ear and deafened him, but didn't actually cut off his ear, the same halacha would apply, he would also go free. However, if he stam made him deaf via a loud sound, he does not have to send him free. If the Eved Kanani went to his master and asked him to fix a tooth, and by accident the master knocked out the tooth, so then he also goes free. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, since it was only an accident, he does not go out free. Daf Chaf Hei. There are 24 tips of limbs on a person which don't become tame from the part of tsaras called michya. This is when healthy flesh is surrounded by tsaras. These 24 include the ends of the fingers and toes. In any of these 24, if the owner causes damage, the eved gets to go free. Rebbe says if he causes damage to the testicles, he also goes free. Ben Azai adds the loss of a tongue also. Ula says, all agree that the tongue is considered goli, is considered open, regarding becoming tame via sheretz. Since if a hidden part of the body touches something tame, it doesn't become tame. This is called maga beis hasesarim. The same is true with mikveh, that for tefillah, the water only has to touch open parts of the body, not hidden parts like the tongue. Once there was a maisa with the shivcha of Rebbe, where she did tefillah, and then they found a piece of wood between her teeth, so they made her do tefillah again. Aye, but why should she have to do tefillah again? The teeth are hidden, so chatzitza shouldn't make a difference, because once they're hidden, it doesn't matter whether the water touched that part or not. The Gemara answers, since we say, kol haroi lebila ein bila ma'keves, because she'ena roi lebila bila ma'keves, Reb Zera says this. This is a mashal by Menachas, which is brought down in many places in Shas. If one wants to bring a large karban, which is 61 esrainim, he must bring it in two vessels. Otherwise, it's impossible to mix it with the proper amount of shemen, a mincha belula. So the same here. Since it's impossible for water to get between the teeth, it's ma'akav the tefillah. Mashenkin, if it would be something that would be possible at least, and then it wouldn't have touched the part, then it would be okay. Kol sheroi lebila ein bila ma'keves, for kol she'ena roi lebila bila ma'keves. The Rishonim ask on this comparison that bila is midaraisa. While this inyan of chatzitza by inner parts of the body is only midarabanan, so how can you make the comparison? Taisus answers, since there's a pasuk for tefillah, v'rachatz basari b'mayim, it's considered a good comparison. The Mishnah, as background. There are numerous types of kinyanim by metaltalin. Number one, a kinyan hagbah, which means lifting the thing up. That's a kinyan. Number two, kinyan meshicha, which means moving it. And number three, kinyan mesira. This is a symbolic giving from a seller to a buyer. Hagbah is considered the most chashiv and can be used for anything. Meshicha is generally used for larger items, which are hard to pick up. And mesira is only used for animals or boats. And the Mishnah says, Reb Meir says, a behema gasa is acquired only through kinyan mesira, but of course can also be kaina, can be acquired through hagbah. A small animal, like a sheep, is only acquired via hagbah. The Chachamim say, a small animal, like a behema daka, can also be done via meshicha. And the Gemara says, in a different brisa, we learned some different shitas. The Chachamim say, both a behema gasa and a behema daka can have meshicha. Reb Shimon says both a behema gasa and a behema daka can only be done with hagbah. Rav paskins like the Chachamim in the Brisa. According to Reb Shimon, how could you acquire an elephant which is too big for hagbah? How is it possible that you could pick up something that big? The Gemara answers via chalipin, giving a sudar or a handkerchief and you're making the chalipin, that's a good kinyan, or renting the property where the animal stands, which is considered a kinyan chatzar, that would also be a good kinyan. It's necessary to explain how this kinyan works. If the animal is standing in a chatzar, how exactly, what are the mechanics of that kind of a kinyan? The Rashbam in Bava Basra, Daf Ayin Vav, writes, with regard to a similar case, that once he rents the land, it's considered like it belongs to his chatzar, it's his chatzar, and therefore he can be kinyan any item on the land via kinyan chatzar. The Baal Itur, however, contends that a renter does not have sufficient ownership in leased property for it to be considered his chatzar, so he can be kinyan with it. He therefore says that the method of kinyan here in our Gemara is kinyan agav karka. This is the kinyan discussed in the next Mishnah, by which one can acquire metaltalin along with the acquisition of karka, real estate. And therefore, along with renting the land, he can also be kinyan of the elephant via kinyan agav karka. Daf Chavav, the Mishnah. Karka, which is called nechasim sheyesh lahan achrayas, if someone borrows money and can't pay it back, the malva can collect karka. In other words, because it's achrayas, he depends on it, and he knows that he could always come and collect karka. That's why karka is called nechasim sheyesh lahan achrayas, because if he can't collect from anywhere else, he can depend on collecting from the karka. This karka can be acquired via kesef, shtar, and chazaka, which is physical possession. Metaltalin, which is considered a davar she'en lahan achrayas, since the malva doesn't depend on ever getting it, if he has no other way of getting the money back, i.e. the loiva can hide it, so therefore the malva can never find it in the first place, so he doesn't rely on getting it. He doesn't know achrayas. He can't rely on it. These nechasim can only be nikna via kinyan meshicha. And the Gemara says, Chazaka is when someone does something to the field that shows he owns it, or he actually lives on it, like we see from the Pasuk in Devarim, Perek Yud Aleph, V'yirishta Meisam, V'yishavtem Ba. If someone gives karka, he can give metaltalin also, which will be nikna via kinyan agav, as we mentioned before. It's nikna bederech agav. Once you're already acquiring the karka, you also acquire the metaltalin. We know that there are numerous halachas which require a person to own some land. And some land can mean even a tiny drop of land. For example, even a tiny piece of land makes a person mechuyev in mitzvahs peah. And he's allowed to bring bikurim also if he owns a little bit of land. In addition, once a person owns even a small portion of land, he can write a prusbel just with this small piece of land. What is a prusbel? Hillel HaZakein made a takana of prusbel. Normally, in the year of Shemitah, all loans become null and void. So when it was coming very close to Shemitah, people who were wealthy were afraid to lend money right before the Shemitah year, because they were afraid they wouldn't get it back once Shemitah comes along. So poor people who needed money in the sixth year would have problems borrowing money, because no one would lend them money. Prusbel says that the loan belongs to Hekdesh, instead of the loan being actually paid back to Shimon, who, let's say, is the Malva, and Shimon is the one who is the Malva, Hekdesh actually becomes the Malva, and therefore it remains Chayav even in Shemitah year, because Shemitah is only Chal on Kesef which belongs to a Hedyot. Shemitah is not Chal on Kesef which belongs to Hekdesh. Therefore, this special thing, Prusbel, says that the loan actually belongs to Hekdesh, therefore it's not null and void during the Shemitah year. But one can only write a Prusbel if he owns some land, and even if it's a Karka, Kolsho, or just a little bit of land, he's allowed to write a Prusbel. And the Gemara asks, in order for Kinyan Agav to be Chal, does the Metaltalin actually have to be sitting on the Karka Mamish, or can it be in a different place? We learn from the case that Rabban Gamliel gave Maaser Sheni to Yeshua, and Maaser Sheni to Rabbi Akiva, the Gavai Tzedakah, that the Metaltalin must actually be on the land in order for Kinyan Agav to be Chal. If a person is on his deathbed, he's a Shchiv Mera, so according to the Chachamim, we say, Matna Shchiv Mera, Ki Ksuvim Ukimisurim Dami. We don't require a normal star or a Kinyan, but if he gives a matana, balpeh, it's considered a good matana. Since we don't want to make him nervous. Therefore, as soon as he says, you know, I want $1,000 of mine to be given over to Yankel. Therefore, since he's sitting on the deathbed, we say that that kinyan is good. Rabbi Eliezer argues, and says that a shchiv mera must also make a maisik kinyan in order to transfer property. You just can't say it, but rather a kinyan actually has to take place. The Gemara says, in order for a shtar to be chal, it must be written bedas hamischayef. The one who is actually going to be chayef to pay has to be fully aware of that the shtar is being written. The Gemara paskins that for Kinyan Agav to be effective, you don't need the metaltalin to actually be sitting on the land. Does someone have to explicitly say he's making a Kinyan Agav? The Gemara answers yes, he actually has to say that he's making quote-unquote a Kinyan Agav. And the Gemara says, if the karka is being transferred via mecher, via a sale, and the metaltalin is transferred via a matana, can Kinyan Agav work or not? Since they're two different transactions, maybe it doesn't work. One is a matana and one is a mechira. Or if the karka went to Reuven and the metaltalin went to Shimon, can Kinyan Agav work? It's going to two different people. The Gemara says sometimes the power of kesef is stronger than shtar, and sometimes the power of shtar is stronger than kesef. Kesef is stronger since it can only be used to redeem Hekdesh and Maaser Sheni. Mashen ken shtar can't. Shtar is stronger because it can be used for get. Mashen ken kesef cannot. And chazaka can be stronger than both of them, since if you buy 10 fields and you make a chazaka on only one of them, you can be kind of all 10. But this is only if he paid for all 10. The Gemara says normally there is never a shvua on karka. For example, let's say a person was made of a mikzas and he's mechuyev in a shvua and it happens to be on karka, he would not make the shvua. If, however, one makes a shvua on metaltalin, one could also be chayev to make a shvua on karka as well, via what we call a gilgul shvua, which is similar to what we mentioned before. Once you do it on one thing, sort of like a kinyan agav, you do it on the other thing too. Ula says, we learn this from the pasuk by Saita, the Amar HaIsha, Amen, Amen. Just like she makes a shvua that she did not have relations when she was in a suah, the gilgul rolls over to the fact that she also says she did not have relations when she was in arusa. Taf chavches. We know that the rule is that maman me'isura lo yalfinan. So how can we learn gilgul shvua by maman from Saita, which is an iser? Our answer, learn it from a kal v'chemer. If a person says about a ben yisrael that he is an eved kanani, we put this particular person into cherem. This is midah keneged midah. If he says a certain person is a mamzer, we give him malchus, since this is also midah keneged midah. Tosfos explains that the reason why he deserves specifically the punishment of malchus is because by calling his friend a mamzer, he is in effect insinuating that his friend, as an alleged mamzer, is subject to malchus for forbiddenly marrying a bas yisrael. Therefore, in return, midah keneged midah, he himself is subject to malchus as his punishment for publicizing such a baseless rumor. The Chassam Sofer adds that even if the alleged mamzer is single at the time of the these charges, this person is still mechuyev in Malkus, although he is not alleging that his friend is transgressing any Isurim at this moment. However, by calling him a mamzer, he's insinuating that any future marriage that he may partake in will be subject to Malkus, and therefore he deserves Malkus even in such a case because of the future ramifications of his unfounded charges. In addition, the Gemara says, if he says a certain person is a Rasha, we don't punish him, but the recipient can treat him without respect. The next Mishnah, background. This Mishnah discusses Kinyan Chalipin, which very often is referred to as Kinyan Sudar. To effect this Kinyan, a person, the receiver, the Kaina, gives his friend a glove or a handkerchief, and this can be used as a Kinyan for both Karka and Metaltalin. The famous case of Kinyan Chalipin, which we know we do every year, is on Erev Pesach, when we give the Rav the ability. We make a Kinyan with the Rav, so he should sell our chametz. The Rav gives us a handkerchief. We give the handkerchief back, and therefore with that Kinyan, it's a Kinyan Sudar, it's a Kinyan Chalipin, and the Rav takes charge and is Kaina our chametz for us, and then sells it over to a guy. That's the famous case of Kinyan Chalipin. And the Mishnah says, anything which is used as payment for something else, immediately when one person takes it, this person is Kainit, and the Kinyan takes effect. For example, if someone is trading a shor for a para, as soon as A gives B the para, the trade takes effect. And the Gemara says, a coin cannot be used for Kinyan Chalipin, as we learn from the Gemara in the Bava Metzia Daf Mem Vav. Although technically, min ha-Torah, it can be used for Kinyan Chalipin, but the Rabbanan made a takana that money cannot be used for this type of a Kinyan. Since they were afraid that it was possible that money may have been paid, but title was not transferred, and then a fire took place. The seller then, knowing that he doesn't own it, wouldn't even bother trying to save it. Therefore, only Meshicha can be used, where full title and full possession actually took place. The next Mishnah, regarding Metaltalin, the jurisdiction of Hekdesh becomes effective with Kesef, but the Rishus of a Hedyot is only effective with taking physical possession, with Meshicha. I.e. Amirasai ligvaiha kemisi rasai lehedyot. Saying something to Hekdesh has the same potency as actually giving something mamish to a hedyot. Daf Chavtas, the Gemara. If a person bought metaltalin from Hekdesh and made a meshicha when it was worth 100, but by the time he completed paying for it, it was worth 200, he must pay 200 in order to get the item. This is because the pasuk says v'nasan hakesef. We evaluate it at the value at the time the payment is actually made. This supports our Mishnah, in that Hekdesh is bought and sold with Kesef. If he did Meshicha, and it was worth 200 Zuzim, and later it went down to 100 Zuzim, then he still must pay 200, since Lo Yehei Kayach Hedyot Yoser Mikayach Hekdesh. Since just like in this case, Hedyot would pay 200, by Hekdesh we also paid 200. The next Mishnah. All of the mitzvahs of a son that are the responsibility of a father, i.e. Pinyan HaBen, Bris Mila, etc., men are chayev to do, but women are pater. But all mitzvahs that a child must do for a parent, both men and women are mechuyev to do. All mitzvahs haseh which have a time limit, in other words, called a mitzvah haseh shazman groma, only men are mechuyev to do, but women are pater. But if it has no set time, both of them are mechuyev. Also, mitzvahs lois haseh, whether it has a time limit or it doesn't have a time limit, men and women are equal in their chiyev, except for payas, except for the corner where a person has to let his hair grow on the side of his head, only men are mechuyev. Bal Tashchis, which only men are mechuyev, and Tamei Mesim, if the person is a Kayan, only men have that halacha. And the Gemara says, a woman is mechuyev in Kibbut Avaim just like a man, because the Pasuk says, Ish ima yvi aviv tira'u. Tira'u is plural, therefore women and men are mechuyev equally. A man has a special chiyev to do Pinyan HaBen and Mila to his son. He's also mechuyev to teach his son, Tyra, marry him to a wife, and teach him a profession, teach him an umnas. Some say he's also mechuyev to teach him to swim in water in case of danger. In other words, he could fall into water and needs to save himself. Therefore, a father is mechuyev to teach him how to swim. Rabbi Yehuda says, any man who doesn't teach his son an umnis, a profession, really teaches him how to steal. Since he won't have a parnasa, he won't have a trade, therefore he'll have to steal to make a living. The chiyev of Mila, we learn from Vayomal Avraham es Yitzchak benai. If the father doesn't do it, Bezdin is mechuyev to do it. And if they don't do it, the child himself is mechuyev to get a milah for himself when he gets older. Otherwise, he'll be chayev karas. But a woman is not mechuyev to do milah, since the pasuk says, kasher tziva aysai alakim. It's a beferish pasuk that says in masculine, tziva aysai alakim, which only refers to a man. Therefore, a woman is pater. Here, Taisvis asks, why does the Gemara have to bring a pasuk of aysai, aysa, to teach us that a woman is pater to give her son milah? It's pshita that she's pater, because it's a mitzvah seish azman grama. We know that it's done on the eighth day, therefore it's mitzvah seish azman grama, she should be pater automatically. Taisus answers, since once the eighth day passes, you can do it any time. In other words, L'chi of L'chatchila is to do it right on the eighth day. Once you miss the eighth day, you can do it on the ninth day, the tenth day, or when a person is 30 years old. Therefore, it's not a mitzvah to say Shazman Grama, because it can be done at any time. I, Taisus asks, but Mila can only be done by day. You're not allowed to do Mila at night. Therefore, that makes it a mitzvah to say Shazman Grama. So even if you could do it when a person is 50 years old, but the fact that you can only do it by day and not night, that would make it a mitzvah to say Shazman Grama. Taisus answers, this goes according to the Shita who holds that Mila Shalei Bizmana can be done at any time. If you do it Mamish on the eighth day Bizman, then you have to do it by day. But if you do it any time after that, you do it immediately at the moment that you can do it, even if it's at night. The Lubavitcher Rebbe Shlita answers this question by saying that Mila isn't a one-time mitzvah. You do it, and that's it, and it's finished. But rather, it's a Pula Nimsheches. The act of Mila is always there. Once a person does it, and the act of Mila was done, a person carries that with him for the rest of his life, by day and by night. Therefore, since it continues day and night, it's not a mitzvah to say Shazman Grama. Therefore, that's why you need a special Gzeres HaKasav to tell you that a woman is Pater. Finally, Rabbi Yishmael adds that Tziva, whenever it says Tziva in the Torah, command, it always means Zeros. It always means Zerizim. A person needs to do it quickly. From the Pasuk called Bechar Banecha Tifta, we learn that a man is Mechuyev to redeem his son. If the father doesn't do it, he must do it by himself. And since it says Banecha, we learn Banecha V'loi B'naisecha, that the Chiyev to redeem is only by a boy, not for a girl. If a boy's father didn't do it, and the son only has enough money to redeem either himself or his own son, it's a machlokes, which is a higher priority. It's interesting also to point out that a pinyan haben is very, very rare. If you think about how many pinyan habens you've ever been at your life, it's not that often that you go to a pinyan haben. Why is that true? Because a lot of reasons, one of which we just mentioned before. But basically, if you take children, let's say you take 100 children. So let's say the average family has 4 children, for example. That means out of every 100 children, 75 already don't have a pinyan haben, because 75 are not firstborn. That leaves 25 left that could potentially have a pinyan haben. A girl doesn't have a pinyan haben, as we mentioned before. That means half the 25 are girls. So then now you're down to 12 kids who could potentially have a pinyan haben. Either parent could be a kain or a levi, and then you're again pater from pinyan haben. So I would say out of every 12, you probably have 5 or 6 cases where either the father or the mother is a ben or bas kain or levi. That leaves you at about 6. And then if it's not peter recha, if it's a Caesarean, then also if it's a tour of pinyan haben, you don't have to do a pinyan haben. That probably gets you down to 4 children. So say out of every 100 kids that are born, only 4 of them have a pinyan haben, which would explain why it's not that often you ever go to a pinyan haben. Interesting, just to look at the math there, but not that many kids have a pinyan haben, and taka, the kids who have a pinyan haben, it's quite a schus for them to have one. If a person has a chiyuv of pinyan haben and aliyah l'regel, both of them, and he only has enough money for one, pinyan haben has kadima. But Rabbi Yehuda says, first you do aliyah l'regel, since it's a mitzvah iveris, it's something that will pass, later on you can do the pinyan haben. If a man has 5 sons from 5 wives, he's mechuyev to redeem all of them. Since the pasuk says, "Kol bechar banecha tifta," all of your firstborns you should redeem. Aye, but this is pasha, since we know the key factor is peterechem. So a woman's firstborn is what creates the chiyev of pinyan haben. So of course, the man would be mechuyev from the 5 different wives to do a pinyan haben for each of them. Mari answers, I would think that just like nachala, which is yerusha, is dependent on the firstborn from the father, the same thing by pinyan haben, that it would depend on the child coming from the father. Kamash Malan, pinyan haben is not totally in the father, but rather is totally in the mother. Therefore, if the husband had 5 different wives and had 5 different sons from the 5 different wives, he would mechuyev pinyan haben 5 different times. We learn that a father is mechuyev to teach his sons Torah from the pasuk of limadatem oisam es beneichem. And if the father doesn't teach him, he should teach himself. She, the wife, is not mechuyev, since it says limadatem, to teach, which could also be read ulamadatem, which means learn by yourself. So we can compare these two. Only the one who is obligated to learn Torah by themselves are mechuyev to teach Torah. And since it says, v'limadatam oisam es b'neichem, your sons, you should teach your sons, we learn b'neichem v'loi b'neiseichem. There is no chiyev to teach a daughter Torah. The only chiyev to teach a son Torah. So she also has no chiyev to teach it. Once she has no chiyev to learn it, she has no chiyev to teach it either. The Gemara says, if a man only has some time for Torah, his Torah comes before teaching his son Torah. Rabbi Yehuda says, if the son is very intelligent, then you're mechuyev to teach him Torah before learning it by yourself. If a person has a chiyev to learn Torah and get married, which should come first? Yilmud Torah v'achar kach yisa isha, the Gemara says. But if it's hard for him to learn without a wife, then he should get married first, so his learning will be better. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel says, the halacha is, naisa isha v'achar kach yilmud Torah. First the person should get married, then he should learn Torah. But Rabbi Yochanan says, first you should learn Torah and then marry. Otherwise, once you marry, your head will be too full of parnasa and worries, and you won't be able to learn very well. The Gemara says Rav Chisda told Rav Huna that he had a high regard for Rav Hamnuna and considered him to be an Adam Chashev. Rav Huna, upon meeting Rav Hamnuna in person, questioned him, since he was supposedly an Adam Chashev, as to why he was not wearing a sudar. This was a type of a head covering worn by prominent people. In response, he said that he lacked a sudar due to the fact that he was still single, and it was only customary for married men to wear a sudar. The Magen Avram in Arachayim Simen Ches, Sifkot and Gimel, comments that this Gemara indicates that customarily, unmarried men did not cover their heads with a talus. That's where today's minhag comes from, that when someone is not married, they do not wear a talus. Likewise, the Maril writes that customarily boys, even over bar mitzvah, do not wear a talus until they get married, and he says that this is alluded to in the Torah by the fact that immediately after the Pasuk mentions the mitzvah of tzitzis, gedilim tasalach, it mentions marriage, ki ikach ish isha. The juxtaposition of these two psukim indicates, says the Maril, that only one who is married should wear a talus. Rav Huna said, if a person is 20 years old and he didn't marry yet, he'll have thoughts of Avera until he does marry. Rav Yishmael says, for 20 years Hashem waits for a man to marry. After age 20, Hashem gets upset if one does not marry. Rava said, as long as your son is still in your control, see to it that he marries between the ages of 16 and 22. Others say between the ages of 18 and 24. Rashi says this Gemara isn't referring to marriage, but rather you should give him Musar between the ages of 16 and 22 or 18 and 24, because that's when he's mature enough to listen. This is all a Machlekes Tanaim, since we know from Mishle, Chanoich Lenar al pi darkai, that a person should teach his son according to his son's ability, and this is a Machlekes whether the best age in terms of Musar and teaching the son is between 16 and 22 and 18 and 24. Daf Lamed. How much is a father supposed to teach his son Torah? The Gemara answers, he must teach him Mikra, which is Chumash, Mishnah, Gemara, Halacha, and Agada, like Zvulun ben Dan, who taught all of these. The Gemara derives from the Pasuk of Limaratem Oysam es Benechem that a father is obligated to teach his son Torah. In Al-Hadaf, they bring the Rambam, in Hilchas Talmud Torah, Perek Aleph, Halacha Gimel, who adds that if the father cannot personally teach his son, he's obligated to hire a teacher to do so in his stead. Rav Moshe Feinstein, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, in Igris Moshe, Yeradeya Chelik Beis, Simen Kuf Yud Gimel, writes, accordingly, that the tuition fees that one pays to his son's Hebrew school or yeshiva cannot be halachically considered as charity, that's tzedakah, and should not be credited towards a person's meiser obligation. Inasmuch as one is halachically obligated to hire a teacher to teach his son Torah, doing so is only considered as a fulfillment of his mitzvah and not as tzedakah. The Rambam cites a Sifri, but says that not only is one obligated to teach his own children, he's obligated, if he's a chacham, to teach other children as well. The Rambam in Perek Aleph Halacha Beis explains, though, that there is a halachic distinction between the obligation to teach one's own children and teaching children of others. He says that the Torah indicates, by emphasizing that there is an obligation to teach one's own children, that teaching one's own children takes precedence over teaching children of others, i.e., if one cannot accomplish both, he should give priority to teaching his own children. Secondly, the Rambam says that one who does not teach his own children is obligated to hire a teacher for them, whereas no obligation exists with regard to teaching other children. In the Rav Shulchan Aruch, Hilchas Talmud Torah, Kuntres Achron, it's brought that there's another difference between the responsibility to teach one's own child and the responsibility to teach children of others. He infers from the Rambam, Mitzvah al kol chacham mi Yisrael lilmaid es kol ha-talmidim, that one is not obligated to teach students if he would rather spend his own time furthering his own Torah knowledge. He says that the Rambam implies that the only one who is already an accomplished scholar and well-versed in all areas of Torah knowledge is obligated to teach students. However, with regard to one's own children, one has a responsibility to impart to them any Torah knowledge that he himself has already acquired, even if he would rather utilize his time for his own personal study to further his own Torah knowledge. The Gemara says a father is chayav to teach a son, but is a grandfather mechuyav to teach his grandson? Our answer is only a father to a son, since it says b'neichem, not b'nei v'neichem. But once you teach a son, it's like you've taught a grandchild also, since your son will pass that Torah to his son. And therefore, if you teach a son, it's like you teach a grandson. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says, anyone who teaches his grandchild Torah, it's like you got the Torah for him at Har Sinai. And also, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi would not eat until he first reviewed the Torah with his son that his son had learned on that day. From Vishinantam, we learn Vishilashtam, that a person should divide his year into three parts, one-third for Chumash, one-third for Mishnah, and one-third for Gemara. Rabbeinu Tam adds that Bavel, the word Bavel is mixed, means mixed, and we see Talmud Bavli is mixed with Chumash, Mishnah, and Gemara. So when you learn Gemara, Talmud Bavli, you actually cover all three areas. The pasuk in Vayikra, which has Gachain, the Vav in Gachain, is the midpoint in the middle of all the letters of the Torah. The middle letter of the Torah is Gachain, the Vav. And Darash, Darash, in Shemini, is midpoint of words. One Darash is one side, and Darash is on the other side. And this Galach is the middle of Psukim. The Torah has 5,888 Psukim. Tehillim, the Gemara says, has eight more than that. Eight Psukim more than that. And Divrei Avim has eight, also eight more than that. Taisus says it doesn't make any sense, since Tehillim is much shorter than the Torah. So what exactly is the Pshat here?